You're listening to the Champions Rugby Show with me, Martin Hindley. Today we're fortunate enough to have a treat from West Wales, where Llanelli famously once beat the All Blacks and the world champion Australians, and now this man takes the Scarlets these days into battle against all comers in Europe.
Lovely puck ball, Ken Owen still going, Ken Owen for the line! And the hooker comes back low, smashes his way over, and look what that means to him!
He captained Scarlets to an amazing European Cup run just 2 years ago, helping them to reach the semi-finals. He's won a record number of caps for a Welsh hooker, and he's one of the most respected figures in the sport. Joining me today is the Scarlets Wales and Lions star, Ken Owens. Ken, thanks for coming on the Champions Rugby Show. How are you getting on these days?
Yeah, not too bad. It's obviously interesting in lockdown at the moment, but no, it's been good to have time at home with the family and, just having a rest from the game, which we don't tend to have too often. So it's quite nice.
We mentioned those games back at Strattie Park in the intro. They're so famous in the history of the sport. As we go back through your career to date in the European Cup, when you first pulled on that jersey, knowing the kind of heroes whose footsteps you were following in, what kind of emotions did that bring to you at the start of your career?
That's quite surreal, actually. I was lucky enough, my first full season with the Scarlets, we had a great team at the time. I was only 19 and had my opportunity on the bench. And we had a great European Cup run that year, which took us to the semi-finals against Leicester. But it had only been 2 or 3 years before. I'd been working as a security guard for my mate's company to, you know, earn a little bit of extra money on a couple of big European games and just seeing the atmosphere. And then obviously growing up watching some big European moments. I went to the semi-final in Reading when we narrowly lost to Northampton. And, you know, watching the other big games is sort of what Scarlet's history has been bred on, has been the European Cup. And I think however you go through your Scarlet's career, you're basically judged on what you've done in Europe. And I think that's probably the biggest impression had on me. And I think that first year brought it back home to how much it means to everybody. And, you know, just excited to be part of it and having that opportunity early on in my career to go on a cup run like that.
The first time I went to Llanelli, Ken, you get off the train, you see the Carwin James pub, you're immediately hit with the history of the jersey in the town. How difficult was it for you not to be overawed walking into that dressing room with some of the characters that were in there at the time?
Oh, it was, like I said, probably surreal. I remember been involved the season before and sort of these guys I'd looked up to. I was lucky enough, I knew a couple of them because obviously lived in the local area down in sort of Carmarthen in West Wales, and it's quite a close-knit community. So like your cousin used to go to school with Stephen Jones and things like that. So you do get to know some of them. But, you know, it was unbelievable, I think, just, you know, being able to rub shoulders with your heroes and then to be part of it. And I think the type of region it is, you're always welcomed in almost instantaneously. Especially if you buy into the culture and what the region's about, it's you're almost like a lifelong friend of Scarlet's rugby by doing that. And I think I was overawed, but quickly got taken. I was the youngest in the squad, and the oldest member of the squad, John Davis, quickly took me under his wing, and you know, and looked after me basically. So there's like so him, Dav Jones, Stephen Jones, Dwayne Peel. These guys were my heroes, but because we're from the same area, very, very quickly became my friends, which, you know, always helped.
Llanelli as a club was almost a region before regions exist, as we look back a long time now in history. As you were going through that first campaign that you mentioned that you were a part of, really, in the Heineken Cup, did you feel that you were doing something, you were making steps, not only for Llanelli Scarlets, but also for Welsh rugby?
Yeah, I think so. It's always interesting because I'm from Carmarthen, I am. So there's always been an interesting rivalry between Llanelli and Carmarthen. And so that's always been a fun one. And for me, you know, I wasn't a huge Llanelli supporter growing up. I was a Carmarthen Athletic boy at heart, and that was my club, even though we were Division 4 or 5 in the Welsh Leagues back then. So for me, it was interesting. Obviously, enjoyed watching Llanelli play because of the brand of rugby and everything that came with it. And But my main affinity came with the region was when it truly became a region. It meant so much to me to represent my area that I've grown up in. And obviously the Welsh language history, which is huge to the region as well, which it sort of thrives on. You've got people from all over Wales who probably have an affinity to the Scarlets and Llanelli because of the Welsh language link as well. So in that first year, we've obviously, the Scarlets and Llanelli have been the flag bearers in Europe for Wales, probably been the highest achievers up until that point. And I think for me, I did feel some sort of responsibility to keep adding to the history of Llanelli and the Scarlets and continuing that. And like I said, because we'd been the most successful team over the years and regularly, you know, in quarterfinals and semi-finals and things like that, it was a certain responsibility that we felt we owed everybody. I think it was the first time since the inception of regional rugby that we'd qualified for a quarterfinal as well. So that was a big moment.
And not only qualified, but qualified winning all six matches, home and away to Ulster, to London Irish and to Toulouse as well, who at the time were already three-time European champions. That's some achievement and must have been quite hard after doing all of that to then prepare yourself for Munster in a quarterfinal, who had been at the business end of the European Cup quite regularly as well. I mean, there's quite a lot of achievements there for a first season in the European Cup for you.
Oh, it was. I think we were playing a good brand of rugby. We were going okay in the league. I think probably the two big turning points were Toulouse at home. Our discipline that day was absolutely fantastic. I think we only gave away one penalty and got a great result. I think Toulouse were up there with the favourites that season. I think going out to Toulouse, we had the half-12 kick-off the week after, an early one. And I think we were 30-odd points down at half-time. And luckily, Dav James scored a try right on half-time, which sort of kept us in the game. And we just probably took the pressure off a little bit. And we just started playing and played some absolutely fantastic rugby. And that sort of kick-started our run that year and gave us a huge amount of confidence. And then once we won the 6-from-6, qualifying the group, we got Munster, which was, we know is always a massive game with their European pedigree and the quality stars that they've got. And I think it's the first time I've ever seen Stradley Park like it as a player, as my first season. But the rafters absolutely full. I think they had put 17 marquees up with tellies in for people to watch because there was just everybody trying to get to the game. I think if it could have been, it would have been going back to 72 and they'd have let 40 or 50,000 people into the place if they could have. But, you know, we knew the challenge that was there, but everything went right for us that day. We played some outstanding stuff. We were right on edge and it was meant to be that day. And we got a huge result against a quality side.
Back on the attack, the Scarlets. Davis, knowing that one score will probably do it. King to Jones. Mark Jones nearly through the gap. That's a lovely ball. McLeod, on it goes, Barry Davis! The Scarlets are surely now going to a semi-final. Is it destined to be their year?
You mentioned 72, obviously beating the Australians. People from the outside, like us, often put quite a lot of emphasis on moments in history. As players, do you ever, when you beat Munster in that kind of atmosphere, do you ever get the sense, are you ever able to get the sense that you've achieved something really special that might one day rank alongside those kind of things?
It doesn't at the time. I think probably the only time it hit home for me what we'd achieved that night, you know, in Scarlet's European history was probably 5 or 6 or 7 years of playing in the competition and not getting to the top tier competitions quarterfinal stages. And I think it showed how difficult it is to do that and what an achievement that was. And I think when we got to 2017-2018 season, when we went on the run and qualified and then ended up playing La Rochelle, that's what I kept saying to the players. I'd been around a long, long time at that point. And I was the only player from that current squad who'd played back in 2007-2008 season, I think it was. And I think that showed the magnitude of the challenge and the achievement it was to get out of the group, especially from a Scarlet's perspective. And I think that's when it really did dawn on what an achievement that was back then.
We know that you've been speaking to Keith Wood about a real classic match at Parky Scarlets then in January 2018 in that round six game that took you through to the quarterfinals. I was at the reverse game of that to Felix Mayol, and after a slow start, really, you gave the three-time European champions an absolute pasting for the next hour. Even though you lost the game, that performance must have given you quite a lot of heart amid the disappointment of losing by a point.
No, it did. We were hugely frustrated. I think we played Toulon, I think, the season before, maybe the season before that, and we got a really good win at home against them. And I think that gave us a little bit of confidence. And then we went out there and a couple of things gone differently. We could have got the result. And I think that showed we could go to the tough places to go in Europe and get results. We obviously knew we needed to be a little bit more clinical, but I think that gave us massive confidence. And although we didn't back it up the week after in the rain against Bath by losing that game with a 4 or 5 day turnaround, you know, it was a game changer for us as a squad to go, look, we can compete at this level and get the job done. And it did give us huge belief in the squad. It didn't show it straight away because obviously we lost the week after, like I said, against Bath, but got a losing bonus point. And then the back-to-back against Treviso, we scraped through in the home game. But then by some couple of moments of brilliance, you need a bit of luck in the competition at all times. And we definitely rode it that year. But I think from that Treviso home game on, we were almost faultless. We went to Treviso and were absolutely impeccable out there for four tries, got the job done, and then everything was in our hands then. I think a good away win in Bath, and then obviously Toulon at home, and we knew they were in the hunt, as were we. And I think if anything, it was our error which kept them in the game, and we could have been some more scores ahead, but it just showed a bit of everything from our squad that we could play rugby, entertain the crowd, and obviously dig in and scramble and put a heroic defensive effort in, which held us in good stead for the later stages of the tournament.
Here comes Ken Owens, and then it's Asquith. Said he was enjoying it. Gareth Davies to Jones. They're all enjoying it, and why wouldn't you? The Pro 12, now 14 champions, ripping it up in Europe.
That game against Bath, it absolutely hammered down in Llanelli that night. And after that, it became virtually knockout rugby. Obviously, it's pretty much knockout rugby when you play in the Six Nations. There's very little margin for error. But I just wanted to, for that specific group of Scarlets players, how important were the successes that you'd come through to lift the Pro 12 trophy when it came to really having a knockout round mentality? Because when you look back on what you achieved in the Pro 12 to lift that trophy, that was something pretty exceptional at the business end of that tournament.
No, it was. That season we'd lost, I think it was 3 or 4 of the first games of the season. So we went through that season pretty much having to play knockout rugby. I remember after we lost to Edinburgh away, and our analysis keeps reminding me of this. It was quite late, as you can imagine. We just lost, and a couple of beers had been drunk, and we were discussing it. And I just turned to him and said, "The thing is, we win the next 18 games on the bounce, and no one will say anything because we'd have picked up the league." And after we won the trophy, we won the final, beat Munster. He turned to me, said, "You got it wrong." He said, "We went 17 on the bounce." And I was like, "That's a fantastic achievement." And we did really galvanise. A lot of youngsters came through. And I think I got injured in the training week leading up to the semi-final. So I couldn't be involved in them last two games. But sitting at home watching the semi-final, and, you know, we started absolutely on fire, got the points on the board and got a red card, which put us under a lot of pressure. So no team had won an away semi-final. And then you go into probably the best team in the league, if not in Europe, and you get a red card, and you're instantly under pressure. And I thought, you know, the character of the squad to go there, get an away win down to 14 men in the manner which we did as well, gave us massive heart for the season after. And I think John Barkley probably said a thing leading up to the final. He said, "You don't want to be a side that goes, oh, we got to lose a final to win a final. Let's just go out and win it now. Why do you need that experience?" And I thought that really resonated with the boys, and they were just themselves that day against Munster and played, you know, fantastic rugby, got the job done, won the league. And I think that was our mentality the season after with our European run especially.
Well, you beat Toulon in front of a terrific crowd, which at the time was a Scarlets record in European competition. Then you went and beat that record in the quarterfinal. I remember Neris working in the comms department, running around like crazy, trying to accommodate the interest. The town was buzzing on Good Friday for a game against La Rochelle, and you get over the line. What are your memories of that experience, and just how the town completely built around the stadium that day? It was something quite incredible.
I was probably best described by Phil Bennett when he said after the game, he said, we'd been at Parc Escarlis about 10 or so years, and he said, Parc Escarlis finally found its soul today. And I think that's what happened. You know, it was the first time we'd had a big European day in West Wales for over a decade, and the first at Parc Escarlis. And I think that sums up what the European Cup means to us in West Wales, and it was unbelievable. It was the first time. I remember when we built the stadium, they said, oh, we're able to put extra seat in behind the posts for the big games, and that's the first time they went in. So that was quite an interesting moment for us. But I probably have never had so many phone calls for tickets as I have since the 2007 Cup run, and it was just great. You get people who've perhaps never been interested in rugby, or even Scarlets rugby, showing an interest in the local community. And I think it definitely had an effect on bringing people's imagination and enjoyment back to, you know, West Wales rugby. And it was huge. And the game, I actually, funnily enough, watched it back last night. It popped up, and we probably didn't play our best rugby that day. We overforced it. We tried playing too wide, and we weren't at our fluid best until probably the 75th minute or so. But what summed it up for me was the atmosphere in the stadium, what it's about, you know, getting the crowd behind you. And we took our chances when they were there. La Rochelle played some, you know, outstanding rugby on the night, but I thought our determination, our hunger to get that result, you know, Lee Halfpenny was on the money with the kick in. And we didn't actually have to overplay in the end. We could just be a little bit more pragmatic and get the result. And I think that showed probably how we'd grown as a squad as well.
Patchell, Shingler, Davis, brilliant. Scott Williams chasing across and chasing home for what will surely be a European Cup semi-final place.
How do those experiences on days like that, not just the atmosphere, but the pressure and that knockout feel, how does that then feed back into you as a player? How has it developed you over time to be the player that you've been on 77 times, more than any other hooker for the national team? I mean, how has it developed you to play in Europe?
Like you said, it's knockout rugby. I think probably playing at the international stage, one thing you get to know pretty quickly, there's no hiding place. You've got massive crowds, people looking at you. And I think until last season, the season before, we hadn't been used to having massive crowds at the Scarlets, which is probably fair to say, and, you know, bar some local derbies. And I think the more them experiences the boys got, obviously the expectation goes up, which you're used to at international level. But the more you play in them atmospheres and them arenas, it does help you, because you can just accept the expectation and the responsibility, and it just becomes the norm. And I think that's why when you spoke about Munster and Leinster and Sarah, these teams, they're big days, but they've managed to make it the norm and just be used to it. And I think we had a lot of international experience in that side, some probably young players who are a little bit naive and just want to go out and play rugby and enjoy the moment, which is brilliant. And then we had a lot of experience around them, with a lot of international experience, Lions experience, and that real balance, you know, helped the squad. And I think then how we grew that on our league run the year before to win the league, and then that really came to the fore in the next season as we went round and round and round and built that momentum. And the boys just got used to feeding off it and really enjoying it.
When rugby returns, Scarlets will have a quarterfinal in the other European competition, the Challenge Cup in the Félix Mayol against Toulon. Is it for you an ambition to lift that European trophy at the end of this season?
Oh, it is. It's, I had a conversation with Brad Moore when he first came over, and I said, what's our plan for the year? Are we taking competitions, they're very targeted. What's the sort of conversation been with the board? And it's like, I'm here to win everything. And I said, fine, happy days. That's what we're going to do then. And we put ourselves in that position to, you know, we got a quarterfinal in Europe. We've done it the hard way again. But we gained some huge confidence. I think we've learned a lot, obviously, being with the new coaching and management staff. That time, they've learned a lot. And I think, we're in a really good place to really kick on now. The boys have had a good break, hopefully an 8-week block of training now once we get back in, and then some regional derbies to really ramp up and be ready to go for that European quarterfinal. I know it's the Challenge Cup, but it's still a European trophy, and it's something, you know, that the Scarlets haven't done yet is winning a European competition, and it's definitely right at the forefront of our minds to lift that trophy. And then, all being well, being back in the Champions Cup next year, and we'll still be driving to be hopefully trying to lift that trophy the season after.
Ken, you mentioned Brad, and obviously you worked with Wayne before that, and a number of leaders of players when you came into the club at the start of your career. You're clearly a leader on whichever pitch you get to, whether it's representing Scarlets, Wales, or the Lions. Who do you take most inspiration from as a leader on the field?
I've been lucky enough to play with some great players and learn a lot from them. You know, they speak themselves, Alan Wynn, Sam, and learned a lot from Simon Easterby, both as a player and a coach. He's my captain when I first started at the Scarlets, and then obviously went into the coaching and learned a lot from him, especially about the region and what it means. But I think Wayne was a massive influence on me. I'll probably take him in my next step from just being sort of a player within a team to really stepping up to that next level as a leader and a captain. I think he was the first person who gave me that responsibility. Other people said, you need to become more of a leader, you need to be a bit more vocal. But I was not always given the opportunity to do that. And I think it made me his captain as soon as he came in, and didn't always get everything right. But I think as I've grown over the years, and probably he's had a massive impact on that, in taking my game to the next level by giving me that confidence, and I'm becoming a natural in the way I try and lead and conduct myself on the field.
I mentioned at the start of this interview the Carwin James pub. If you lift the Challenge Cup this season, will we see in Llanelli a Ken Owens pub? Will we be able to have a pint there?
I'm not sure if there will. There may be. Hopefully there'll be something. But no, I don't think so. I think, you know, what Carwin achieved, both for the Llanelli and Wales and the Lions, you know what I mean? He's an absolute legend, and I'm not one for them sort of accolades. I'm just I'm happy to lift the trophy up, have a couple of beers with the boys after the game, and then head back down to Carmarthen or down to Dav Jones's pub in the village and have a couple of quiet beers with him like I did after the La Rochelle game.
Well, Ken, it's been an absolute pleasure to go down memory lane with you about the European Cup history. We know that you've got plenty more chapters to write, and when rugby returns, we look forward to watching you write them. Thank you so much for joining us on the Champions Rugby Show, Ken.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Some top-class insights there into the history of the Scarlets in what is now the Heineken Champions Cup, from the Scarlets, Wales and Lions hooker Ken Owens, about the magic of Stradey Park and the people who's turned him into the leader that we know today, not only for his region, but also on 77 occasions, no less, for his country. Please subscribe and rate our Champions Rugby Show podcast. Drop us a little review if you liked it as well. We've got another European legend coming up shortly to tell you their unique story from a quarter of a century of history in club rugby's finest tournament. Until then, from me and all the team, goodbye.